One could at least mix with humans for the time being, even if it meant... What did it mean? A stick sharpened at both ends. What was there in that? They had thrown spears and missed, all but one. Perhaps they would miss next time, too. He squatted down in the tall grass, remembered the meat that Sam had given him, and began to tear at it ravenously. While he was eating, he heard fresh noises, cries of pain from Sam and Eric, cries of panic, angry voices. What did it mean? Someone besides himself was in trouble, for at least one of the twins was catching it. Then the voices passed away down the rock, and he ceased to think of them. He felt with his hands and found cool, delicate fronds backed against the thicket. Here, then, was the night's lair. At first light, he would creep into the thicket, squeeze between the twisted stems, ensconce himself so deep that only a crawler like himself could come through, and that crawler would be jabbed. There he would sit, and the search would pass him by, and the cordon waver on, ululating along the island, and he would be free. He pulled himself between the ferns, tunneling in. He laid the stick beside him and huddled himself down in the blackness. One must remember to wake at first light in order to diddle the savages. And he did not know how quickly sleep came and hurled him down a dark interior slope.
Ralph is completely alone now, which must be incredibly frightening. It probably explains why he risked talking to Sam and Eric. He was even starting to think that he could walk back to the Castle Rock and join the tribe after all that's happened. The idea of being cut off from all human contact is just too painful. But Ralph has no other choice. The tribe is after him. I'm not sure what the stick sharpened on both ends is all about. But if I were Ralph, I wouldn't want to find out. Let's see whether he can escape. Move on to the last paragraph on page 191, the one that starts, "He was awake."
He was awake before his eyes were open, listening to a noise that was near. He opened an eye, found the mold an inch or so from his face, and his fingers gripped into it, light filtering between the fronds of fern. He had just time to realize that the age-long nightmares of falling and death were past, and that the morning was come, when he heard the sound again. It was an ululation over by the seashore, and now the next savage answered and the next. The cries swept by him across the narrow end of the island from sea to lagoon, like the cry of a flying bird. He took no time to consider, but grabbed his sharp stick and wriggled back among the ferns. Within seconds, he was worming his way into the thicket, but not before he had glimpsed the legs of